Then all the commanders of the forces and Johanan the son of Kareah and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah and all the people from the least to the greatest came near. And said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Let our plea for mercy come before you, and pray to the Lord your God for us, for all this remnant, because we are left with but a few. As your eyes see us, that the Lord your God may show us the way we should go, and the thing that we should do." Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I have heard you. Behold, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your request. And whatever the Lord answers you, I will tell you. I will keep nothing back from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us. Whether it is good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." At the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he summoned Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces who were with him, and all the people, from the least to the greatest, and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your plea for mercy before him, if you will remain in the land, then I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent of the disaster that I did to you. Do not fear the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not fear him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. I will grant you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and let you remain in your own land. But if you say, 'We will not remain in this land,' disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, and saying, 'No, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall not see war, or hear the sound of the trumpet, or be hungry for bread, and we will dwell there,' then hear the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, 'If you set your faces to enter Egypt and go to live there, then the sword that you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine of which you are afraid shall follow close after you to Egypt, and there you shall die. All the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to live there shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. They shall have no remnant or survivor from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my wrath were poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my wrath will be poured out on you when you go to Egypt. You shall become an execration, a horror, a curse, and a taunt. You shall see this place no more. The Lord has said to you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know for certain that I have warned you this day that you have gone astray at the cost of your lives, for you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us to the Lord our God, and whatever the Lord our God says, declare to us, and we will do it.' And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God in anything that he sent me to tell you. Now therefore know for a certainty that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to live." So, in coming to the conclusion of the Jeremiah, Jesus and Jeremiah series, I'm reading about after Zedekiah, that king, was judged and Jerusalem was attacked. Then you have a guy named Gedaliah who was appointed to be governor, he was appointed to be a governor, but there was another guy, Ishmael, who he went against Gedaliah, and he was a wicked man who killed him, murdered him and a bunch of others. He was given a warning by another guy named Johanan. But he did not, he did not fear who he should fear or trust who he should trust. He did not see things the way he should see things. Something went wrong. I mean, he might have actually been appointed because he actually was understanding what Jeremiah was saying. And he was willing to take the punishment, get along with the Babylonians and everything for a while. But he was warned, this guy is going to attack you. This guy is going to overthrow you. But he didn't know who to trust. He didn't know who his enemies and who his friends were. So he got attacked. And it was terrible. And then Johanan comes along after Ishmael. Well, he goes along and he goes after Ishmael. And then Ishmael, he escapes, I think with about 8 men, as I recall. And that's another portion of the story. And then you have Johanan and the people who are left. The people who warned Gedaliah at the very first. These people are coming after you. And so now you have this band of people, Johanan and the people who are left. And they ask Jeremiah for advice. And they tell Jeremiah, we're going to listen to you. We're going to follow what you say. And then what happens? They don't. They just go back to what they did before. Trusting in Egypt for their salvation, when they should have trusted in the Lord and listened to the Lord's prophet and done and did what he said. But they did not listen. Sometimes fear gets a hold and it's hard. And you start trusting in the wrong things. You don't know who to listen to. You get clouded over. I heard one of the people, maybe it was a Sunday school this morning, talking about, was it as misty at your place as it was at my place? Was that this morning you guys talking? Was it as foggy at your place as it was at my place? And sometimes it gets foggy at all of our places. But sometimes you know what it's like when you don't know who to trust. And you have the voices out there, voices of fear, fear-mongering people, and you have people who actually you should listen to, and you don't know who to listen to. What do you do? How do you trust? How do you stand firm in the midst of it? You seek the word of the Lord and stand on the word of the Lord and wait on the Lord. And that is so hard, isn't it? So hard to wait on the Lord when you feel like everything is just getting messy. Everything's confused. Everything's tough. You ever have a week like that? Where it just seems like everything's falling apart? We've had weeks like that. I mean, and I can't really, I mean, if I pointed to one certain thing, that would be unfair because some weeks there have been so many things come against you, right? Yeah. You have questions about your health, questions about your ministry, questions about your work, questions about your finances, questions about everything. And doesn't it seem like sometimes it all comes at once? And you just don't know what to do. And you turn and you think, you know, and sometimes you turn to the ways of the world and you hear that voice and they tell you some things. And, well, you deserve this. Go do this. And, you know, you backbite and you do passive aggressive things and you do things to kind of get back at the world, you know? Do things your way. Try to figure out a different way to do things, but your way. Try to get one up on somebody else. Or maybe you just go into a cave of despair. Maybe just hide. And that's not the way either. Or maybe you just settle down at home and open up a bag of cookies and then just say, hey, who ate the last one? Well, you just did. So, there's a lot of different ways we cope. And there's something in our guest bathroom that hangs up, and it's like, and Lisa knows that I don't like it that much, but it's like, well, it still stays up because it's just like, I can't really argue with it. I just don't like the feeling of it. It says, like, before all else fails, seek God. Which, you should seek God, but it's like, just like, before all else fails, it kind of just assumes that everything, just about everything, is failing. But isn't that how, somehow, that's how you feel sometimes, you know? But I'm hoping I'm the guy who seeks God first, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. I think it's so wonderful, and gracious and merciful of God that God wouldn't even be offended at what's hanging up in the bathroom, you know? Before all else fails, seek God. Like, this is a guy who waited a little bit too long, but he's finally seeking God. And I think God's like, well, it's fine. It's nice that you're finally smartened up spiritually. You're finally seeking me. I just think it's so wonderful that God waits for us and he takes us. But when I think when he wants us to seek him first, it's like, it's not like because he's like so angry with us. I think he's a loving father who just wants us to do so much better. And he's like, oh, can't we do things differently this time? Can't you get out of that rut? Can't you stop giving way to the worry and anxiety and the stresses and the presses and the things that just seem to come against you and make you turn? But do they really make you? Or do they just invite you to turn to wrong ways of coping? Don't we all have wrong ways of coping that we do sometimes? And it might be some things that are like more like addictions, or it could be just some like an addictive way of thinking. You know? Just negative and nasty. It's hard to choose the high road. So I think about these guys who they go to Egypt. And I don't know, Jeremiah, he goes along with them. I think he goes along with them because he's a prophet and he's establishing everything, kind of like a historian for the Lord. He's establishing everything, but I also think it shows you that God is with you. God is with you even when you make the mistakes and do the things that God would not have you do. He's with you, but he's also with you as a warning too. Don't keep doing it. You're going to Egypt. It's not good there. It's not good. Babylon's going to show up there eventually too. And then you're not going to be happy with how it all lines up. Don't go to Egypt. Just stay put. That's a hard thing, isn't it? To stay put. I think about, I'm giving you a lot of different Bible stuff today, but think about Hezekiah when he's got the Assyrians surrounding him. How hard was it him for just to stand still and see what the Lord's going to do? 185,000 Assyrians in a single night, right? God took care of him. But how hard was it for him to wait, stand still, and see what the Lord's going to do? It was hard for these folks, too. They were thinking the Babylonians were going to come. And because there was even some Babylonian soldiers there, some Babylonian Chaldean people there who got killed when Ishmael attacked Gedaliah. Now, Jonathan later on came along and took care of Ishmael, at least chased him out. But still, Jonathan's thinking the Babylonians are going to come. They're not going to be pleased. So he's worried. But the word of the Lord is there and says, God's going to be with you. It's going to be okay. Just stand pat. Calm down. Take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. And don't you sometimes just need to take a deep breath and read the word and believe it's going to be okay. Going to be all right. And we all are like that sometimes. I'm like that sometimes. I'm like that more than I'd like to be. In fact, last night I was up with thoughts and things. It was difficult.
You ever wrestle? Wrestle? So, yeah, as
I don't think like, oh, when can I sing next in church? Because, you know, I want to make sure it's what the Lord wants me to do, because, you know, it's not like, oh, okay, I can't wait for another time to show off or something like that. It's just, this song came to my mind when I thought about these things, and I thought, the ladies are finishing up a study on what major prophet?
Elijah.
Elijah. And Elijah, he was a guy who, they did a major, you know, the big contest with the prophets, the false prophets, that is, of Baal. You know, the bad guys, the people who were worshiping the false gods, and, you know, those were the ones who were burning the children in the fire and doing all the wicked things that even Judah is judged for in the book of Jeremiah. But after he defeated those people in that great contest, and they were making sure that nobody was missing, they made sure they went after him. What did he do after that great contest? Do you remember?
He ran away and hid
in a cave. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, that's, I felt that so much that the Lord gave me a song about it, because I feel that. And even as a pastor, even Elijah, the prophet, he went and hid in a cave because he had a hard time. Sometimes it was just so much, so much, so much. Have you ever had enough? You know? Well, so this is what the song is about. And then let's think a little bit about that. my Lord, through the trials of that burn crackle choir. But Lord, you weren't in the fire. Abiding in you on the edge, almost dead, I start to hear whispers of all that you've said. You promise to slowly and carefully show that I have a lot more to know. Crawl in the cave once again in the fear, and went to the edge, Lord, to lean out to hear that you're not in the wind, quake, or fiery noise, but a comforting still small voice. It's hard to hear that voice sometimes. Elijah was given strong direction. God gave him something to eat. So we need something to eat. Physical food, but also feast on his word. We need that. He also kept him moving, gave him a job to do. My wife, she knows when I'm like all befuddled and I'm all kind of closed in on myself. She's like, go, take a run. Go, go. She like sends me out of the house. Maybe it's for her sanity too, I don't know. But she's like, go, take a run. And it does help me to get out there, just to get doing something, to be physical, to occupy my body with something so I actually can meditate in a good spiritual, scriptural way. You know, it's good. So, and then lean on your friends too. Because Elijah was told, you know, here's what you have to do, and I'm also giving you somebody to be your friend. Somebody to lean on. You know? So I do those things. And I remember how important it is to keep focus too. You know how important that is to keep focus. Matthew 14 verses 22 to 20. Well, here it is. Starts 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." So yeah, that is kind of creepy. Fourth watch of the night. What would that be? Four watch. Separate from 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. So I think in the fourth watch of the night, they're kind of early morning to us. But still, you know, after a night when you didn't get a lot of sleep, and you're feeling kind of like, kind of weird anyway, and then all of a sudden that happens, that wakes you up a bit. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased,
And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So that occasion there did proclaim Jesus as Godhood, God in the flesh. But to get back to our theme of trusting him, trusting firm, we know some things that Elijah was told to do. What does this teach us to do? What?
Trust.
Trust? And how do we trust? What was Peter? What did Peter do right?
Kept holding
on to Jesus. Don't let go. He kept Jesus in view, in focus.
He actually stepped out of the boat.
He stepped out of the boat. And isn't that something? Even when you feel like you're having a rough time, do you ever think that maybe you're having a rough time because you stepped out of the boat, you know? Hey, at least you're out of the boat. Out of the boat. At least you're doing something, right? You might get out there to witness. You might get out there to do something that's great, and all of a sudden somebody just kicks you in the teeth about it. Going out there to do something really good, and it just doesn't work out. You're frustrated and everything. Well, some of the problems you're facing might just because you stepped out of the boat and you're in the water. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. You're just sharing what Jesus shared. And it's like the disciples rejoicing because of their persecution. They count it worthy to suffer. But the other thing is, it's like, call out to Jesus. How many scriptures are there that just say, cry out unto him. Cry unto him, and he hears. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. That's from Psalm 91. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. So, and you're looking to find some trust. The idea that came into my mind is that little kid who's, you see, imagine yourself at a pool. You go away vacation, you're out there sitting there at the pool, you know, just having a nice relaxing time, and you see this little kid with their water wings. Cute little swimsuit, little goggles on, and they're up on the diving board. And you see this child is about to jump in. Daddy's right there in the water. Why is that child going to jump in? Why is that child going to jump in?
Trust.
Trust? Yes. And he knows it's his dad. He knows it's his father. Think the picture. Okay, take out the father and just put a stranger in there. So a lot of kids wouldn't jump in, right? But it makes the picture right because you get the sense as you're watching the interaction of these two, you know that kid knows this dad. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he knows my name, it's not just like, oh yeah, I know the name. I know God's name. I know his sacred name in the Bible, covenantal name. I know Jesus and all the names. I got two books that in my library, it's like the names of Jesus, the names of God. You know, it's like, it's not just intellectually knowing, it's knowing the character of God. Knowing who he is. Like, I know this guy. I know him. That's my dad. I know him. Inside and out. Do you know your Lord? That comes from reading his word and having a constant conversation with it. You've read those verses in the Bible that talk to you about about his word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's from Deuteronomy 6. And then in Deuteronomy 11, it's repeated with some warnings with it. Like, don't go after the gods of the world. It's almost like saying, hey, don't start coping with Egypt. Don't start coping the way the world copes. Stick with me. Know who I am. Remember who I am. You know I'm your dad. So why is the kid jumping in? He knows his dad. And two, we're already talking about it. Because there's communication. Have you ever seen, when you're seeing this picture in your mind, isn't the dad saying, come on, you can do it, I'm here, I'll catch you. And the kid's saying, no, I don't want, no, it's cold, no, whatever.
Too high,
whatever. Yeah, the conversation back and forth. And that's prayer, isn't it? Our prayer, how many, your prayer life is not just going into your prayer room or your closet or your car or wherever you pray and just saying, here's my list, Lord. Your prayer life is you on the diving board and God in the water saying, come on, jump. I don't know what your jump is. Maybe your jump is just not reaching for that or just not doing that or just not saying that. Or just not thinking that, but the jump is there. And God says, come on, jump! You say, no. All right, well, you'll spend more time in the prayer room that day then, I guess, you know? Because sometimes you're wrestling with God until he wins. Because you want to do his will. And sometimes you wrestle with God and say, oh God, please. And you're asking for something and you're asking and you're just praying for it, you're praying through until you get that blessing. I know that's a way too that it's kind of wrestling, but it's just a respectful waiting and hanging on and giving the promises unto God, you know? It's just like a teenager saying, come on, you take me out to drive, you know, and you're just waiting for them to say, how much do they really want it? Are they studying what they need to study for it? Are they doing their homework like I told them to do? How much do they really want this? Sometimes God wants to see how much you really want it too. See if you're ready for the responsibility, ready for the blessing too. So there's wrestling there too. But you have, number one, you know it's your father. Number two, you have that communication. Why else is he going to jump in? Well, he's jumping in because he's also fixing his eyes. Fixing his eyes, you know? Remember that song we just sang, like, crawled in the cave, once again in the fear, and then the concluding chorus says, still, small voice. That's where God is, the still, small voice. The challenge is to still all the other voices. The challenge is to tune in, to fix on Jesus. You know, when that child's going to jump in the water, it's like, he doesn't want to look at everybody else. You know, maybe there's people over here. Maybe there's other little kids saying, like, you know? Or maybe there's other kids saying, you can't do it. Or maybe there's others who are encouraging, but they're not going to catch him. Who's going to catch him? Dad. Fixing our eyes are hard. And to fix your eyes, and I know sometimes I've been tough on cell phones and stuff, because you get good stuff from your cell phones and stuff too, but there's things in your life that you need to turn off, though. And it might be that. When Carol turns her television on, you might want to turn yours off. You know? Might be a television, might be radio, it might be the negative voice of a certain person in your life. I'm not saying to shut people out, but I'm saying the people that you kind of are leaning on and everything, you got to ask yourself, what's going on there too? You need to do what you need to do so you can hear the still small voice. And then four, you need to remember, as Peter probably kicked himself a little bit afterwards, you need to remember, this is the person I've trusted before. You know, that daddy in the pool, I'm your dad. I've caught you. We've done this before. Or other times, I've been here with you before. Other times I've been with you, even if it wasn't in the pool, it was there when we went out dirt biking, when we went out on the river, you know, when we went to school together for your first day of school. I was with you these different times. I'm with you now too. And you remember. You remember. That's why there's like Psalms in the Bible, like Psalm 136, which says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's going back through a whole litany of all the things that God has been with you in the past. Because you know God is doing something wonderful today. And you want to hang on to that. Because we all want to finish well, right? Don't we all want to finish well, the whole thing? We want to know who he is. We want to have a good communication life, a good fixing our eyes life, and trust him so much that we jump away from our fears and jump into faith and keep on going on. And that's the way of life. Isn't it something? Even Elijah, who was so afraid for his own life, so afraid for his own life, he didn't die. Do you realize that? He was so scared, hiding in a cave, and God blesses him, and he didn't even die. Caught up to heaven in a whirlwind with a chariot of fire. So don't give up on God, because he has miracles and blessings, and he's still the same as he ever was, yesterday, today, and forever. Don't give up on him. Finish well. This week we had a good, faithful family fun night, you know, around 20 people all together. It was a nice time together. Nice little Thanksgiving meal. And I shared this little story because, you know, Squanto was like one of the Indians who spoke English because he had a history there. But he helped them to know how to plant corn and really helped them to survive in some very rough conditions. In the first Thanksgiving, you know, that first time where they're gathering together for giving thanks to God, one of those first times. And I found this. The guy who had done so much good, says, before he died, Squanto asked Bradford, who was one of the leaders in the colony, asked Bradford to pray for him so that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven. He also bequeathed his few belongings to his English friends so that they might remember him. His death, Bradford wrote, was a great loss to the entire colony. In all likelihood, Bradford felt a mixture of sorrow at the death of his friend, without whom the pilgrims would have perished in the wilderness, and joy that Squanto had converted to Christianity before his death. You know? We all want to finish well and make the long haul with God. We don't want to get distracted by the worries and the fears and the doubts and the winds and the waves that we see all around us. We don't want to have anything sideline us because we're listening to the wrong people, fearing people more than we fear God. We shouldn't fear people, we should just fear God. Fear of man can be a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord is kept safe. We want to trust in the Lord, and that's hard sometimes, especially those people back in Jeremiah's time. They kind of trained themselves to trust other things. False gods, countries that can't help them, ultimately. They needed to really focus on God's word and keep their word to be obedient, even when it seemed so thin, so tight, so empty, so, I don't know, so different. And sometimes it feels like that. Whether you're going to the hospital for a test, or whether you're working out something with a family member, or whether you're just trying to keep all the responsibilities together, Sometimes things feel kind of tight. Stay with the Word of God and remember to keep your focus. Know who He is. Communicate with Him. Cut out the other voices. Fix your eyes and jump in faith and stand firm. It's a hard thing, but He hears us when we call to Him. And He answers. Because He's a good and loving God, forgiving for all the past, and His tender mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness to us. So trust Him. Trust Jesus. He's proven Himself to you, hasn't He? He's proven Himself to you on the cross.